Dear friends in Christ, will you pray with me? Holy Lord God, Heavenly Father, in sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, you showed us how much you treasure us. You sent Jesus to die on the cross to save us, to redeem us, to rescue us from the darkness of this world, from the fear of death, to redeem us, to make us your children now and forever. We pray, Lord, that we may use this knowledge that we are loved, that we may love you and treasure you, God, more than anything else in all of creation. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Did you hear about this week? There was a book that was written in 2010 by a man named Forrest Finn. It was kind of a self-memoir about himself. And in this book, there was this map. The book was called The Thrill of the Chase. And there was a poem in this book. You can kind of see the poem there, even if you can't read it. But this poem is about a treasure that Forrest hid somewhere in the Rocky Mountains, all right? A treasure chest that he buried for people to read this book and find. And so there are kind of clues hidden throughout the book, clues hidden in that poem. But somewhere in the Rocky Mountains that spread from Montana all the way down to New Mexico. And so for 10 years, people have been looking for this treasure. When what I was doing some reading, actually five people died trying to find this treasure. But just this last week, up around Jackson Hole, Wyoming, someone came across this treasure, this box. And you might say, well, that doesn't look like much, but it had gold in it. And it's valued between $2 and $3 million worth of gold in that treasure box. And so they were able to take pictures, the person who found it, and send it back to Forrest Finn. And he said, yep, that's the treasure. Can you imagine walking and going and looking for treasure anywhere in the Rocky Mountains? That's a huge swath of area, but people devoted time and energy to try to find this treasure. And maybe if you're honest, what would you do with $2 or $3 million, right? We could think of all sorts of things. That's why people play the lottery. I don't, but some people do, all right? The idea of striking it big. So as we think about treasure today, we get into our gospel text where we hear Jesus start a parable. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like what? Treasure. Say that one more time. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure. Now I want you to say it like you're kind of like a pirate and you say, treasure, matey. All right, can you say, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure, matey. All right, there you go. It's treasure hidden in a field. And so back in Jesus' day, people would, because of all of the battles, because of all of the wars and all of the occupation of Rome, people wouldn't keep stuff in the bank. They wouldn't store their treasures in their house. Often they would find a safe place somewhere on their property where they would literally hide their treasured possessions. And so that just because of so many different battles over the years, maybe a person who had this land, who had died, had passed on to somebody else, and nobody knew that this treasure was there. And so Jesus' parable, the man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy, because he had found treasure, what did he find? Treasure. That's right, he found treasure. He sold all that he had and he bought this field so that he could have this treasure and this treasure could be his. Today we might say, well, why didn't he just tell the owner of the field? Because the owner of the field had no idea. If he knew that treasure was there or that it was his, do you think he would have sold the field? No. The owner had no idea. And yet this man who was working this field found this treasure. And there's actually a Jewish proverb that says if a man finds treasure, you know, it's his. or as a kid would say, finders keepers, losers weepers, right? And so he found this treasure and he kept it with great joy. What did he have to do to obtain that field? He had to sell all that he had. Jesus tells another parable about a merchant. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls, all right? Pearls are kind of like diamonds in Jesus' day, a great treasure. And when this man who had been searching and seeking pearls found this pearl of such great value, what did he do? He went and sold everything he had to have that pearl, to have that treasure. And so you think about these parables, there is something of great value, but in order to obtain it, what needs to happen? You sell, you get rid of everything else so that you may possess this one thing that is more valuable than anything else. And so today I'm going to give you a little bit of hint. What is that thing that we value more than anything else? Gail did such a great talk about it. It's Jesus, right? Jesus is that treasure that when we have Jesus, we have everything. When we have Jesus, we have life, we have forgiveness, we have a relationship with God, we are part of God's family on earth and in heaven. When we have Jesus, we have the greatest treasure of them all. Do you believe me? Some of you are saying, yeah, but some of you, I can see you have that in their mind, that picture of the treasure, and you think, oh, I kind of like some gold, right? Some gold and jewels and rubies. But I want to talk about how do you view this language and this use of treasure? And I want to go back to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, because I think when we hear of treasure, we often think of material and possessions and gold and gems or something with monetary value. But part of the early Jews of their culture, they learned in the book of Proverbs that there is something that is far more valuable than silver or gold or jewels. And this is how it was been framed for the hearers in the Old Testament. In Proverbs chapter 2, the author, often people think that Solomon wrote many of the Proverbs. He's trying to pass on what he has learned to his sons. And he says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turn your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry out for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as what? Use your best pirate voice. Hidden treasure, matey. All right, hidden treasure. Then what? What will it be? Wisdom is going to be more valuable. And you will understand that the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. And so in the Old Testament, you get this insight, this understanding that a great treasure, that God is that treasure, that wisdom and understanding that comes from the fear of the Lord. And so this hidden treasure, I want you to think about this today. It's not just Jesus, but it's also this wisdom that comes from the fear of the Lord. The best definition that I've heard of wisdom is not only, you know, knowing what is the right thing to do at the right time, but wisdom is also the strength and the courage to do it. How often do we know what we ought to do, but we don't always do it? And so this wisdom is this fear of the Lord, is this treasure that allows us to know and act according to God's will. I love what the author of Proverbs says in chapter 3. He says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the son of man who gains understanding. For she, wisdom, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with what? With wisdom. And again, what is wisdom? Wisdom is supreme. Wisdom is even though it costs everything that you have, get understanding. Do you see some comparisons between Jesus' parables and the way the Old Testament book of Proverbs speak of wisdom? Even though it costs all that you have, is wisdom worth it? Yeah. And where do we find wisdom? Let's read this verse together from Proverbs 9:10. And if you're at home, I know you're halfway asleep, but maybe this can wake you up, but maybe you here in the sanctuary, you're kind of like, oh, it's Sunday, I'm tired. But let's read this together and refocus on these words, because this is so important. Let's read Proverbs 9:10 together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so this wisdom that is worth more than silver, that's a better investment than gold, that is more worth more than precious rubies, is what? It's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. We don't talk much about the fear of the Lord today, do we? Maybe in catechism class, you learn that you know, when we should... You know, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Martin Luther writes it so well. He says we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And so this fear of the Lord, and we as Lutherans, it's been a part of our language, but what does fearing God look like? What is described? What does it mean to fear the Lord? This past week, I was blessed to take an online seminary class with Reverend Dr. Dale Meyer. He was a Lutheran Hour speaker for a while, and then he was the seminary president in St. Louis. And he taught a class on 1 Peter. And he talked about a proper understanding of the fear of the Lord. And it just made sense to me, so I want to share that with you today, that when you think about fear, or the Greek word phobos, on a continuum, all right? There's on one end is this fear that we're all kind of familiar with, this fear where there's something bigger, tougher, meaner that's coming up against you, and you have no way out, all right? There is something that is heading your way, that has crossed your life, that you can't do anything to stop, you can't do anything to fight, you are powerless. Have you ever been there? It might be when the doctor walks in the office and say, I've got some bad news for you. You've got cancer. And you don't know what to do. It might be that moment in your life where your spouse comes up to you and out of nowhere says, I'm sorry, dear, I don't love you anymore. I want to end our marriage. It might be right now in the middle of Corona crazy. That's what we call it at home. We're in the middle of Corona crazy, and you are a parent, and you're trying to figure out this whole school thing, and you're afraid for your kids. You're afraid for your teachers. You're afraid what happens when your kids interact with your parents, and it can be so overwhelming. Have you been there? It's bigger than what you can handle, and you're just overwhelmed. Often when I experience fear in this way, I freeze. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to turn, and so I do nothing. This fear of this world, fear of something, comes over me. Okay, we're familiar with that kind of fear, okay? On the other end of this continuum is what the fear of the Lord is, all right? I love this, okay? Something is coming at you. It's bigger than you, but it's coming not to get you, but it's coming to deliver you. It's coming to help you. It's coming to save you. This is something that is so big, so great, so amazing that you just stand back and you can't describe it. You can't take it in. You're filled with awe, especially when you realize that power, that God, that love is for you. I love the song that we just sang. You know, Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. And I think that's what the fear of the Lord comes from, knowing and trusting this wisdom that God is for you. God loves you. God is for you. And when you really think about that, that's awe-inspiring. That leads us to worship. That leads us to praise. That leads us into reverent fear, as Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:17, that as we call on the Father who judges each man's heart and their work impartially, live your lives here on earth as strangers, as pilgrims, as those who are kind of immigrants. This isn't our home, but live with this reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way handed down to you from your fathers, but how were we redeemed? With the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. God, get this, God treasures you so much that even when we were dead in our fear, when we were overwhelmed, underwater, overcome by this world, that as we reach out our hand and we cry out, God, help me, He sent His Son into this world to understand what it's like to be a human. Jesus was without sin so that when He died on the cross, we receive His perfection and His holiness. So now before God, God has nothing against us, but He loves us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been washed by the blood of the precious Lamb. And so today, when you think about Jesus, I want you to have this image in your head that Jesus loves you, that Jesus is for you, that Jesus has overcome the world. And because you are in Jesus, we have overcome too, right? We have overcome whatever is against us. We know that with God, there's nothing that's impossible. And so I want you to treasure the reality that God treasures you. So I'm going to close with a quick another story from recent thing, but remember that for you, because God treasures you, may you treasure and fear God. So I want to close with this story. Did you guys hear about Bridger Walker this past week? He is a six-year-old little boy who lives out in Wyoming too. A couple of my stories both come from Wyoming. And he has a four-year-old little sister, and I love this picture. He dotes ever since his sister was born, and his parents said he loves his little sister. Well, earlier this week, he and his sister went over to a friend's house, and they went to the backyard, and the other kids said, well, we got a nice dog and a mean dog, just stay away from the mean dog. But the mean dog approached the little girl, his sister. And Bridger, he stepped in between the dog and his sister. And so Bridger stepped in between the dog and his sister, and the dog got him and bit his face. And he had to have over 100 stitches to try to put it back together. Bridger valued his sister so much that later on when his dad asked Bridger, why did you do that? Bridger said, I figured if someone was going to die, it should be me. You know, a six-year-old, he treasured his sister that he stood in between danger and his sister. God has done that for us. He has stood between death and us. And Jesus said, I'd rather die than us. Isn't that, and so that, I think, also gives us as Christians, the family said, if there's anything that we can share with this world, we want the world to know that you have the power, just like our son, to stand between those who are oppressed and to fight for them, for those who have no voice, and take a stand for them. And because God has treasured us, Christians, as we think of everybody else in this world, We should treasure people, right? We should treasure all people because God treasures them. May you and I treasure others. Amen? Amen. And so I want to just kind of end with some reflection questions. I've been challenged by Pastor Meyer to say, you know, get to the end of your sermon, and people might be saying, so what? Right? Why am I here? So what? And so my challenge for you today is to ask yourself, how are you seeking Jesus like the treasure he is? Do you believe that Jesus is more valuable than your paycheck, is more valuable than your possessions, is more valuable than anything else in this world? How are you pursuing Jesus? And I know some of you are some of the most faithful people that I know. You're reading God's word. You're reading the portals of prayer. You are prayer warriors, okay? For those of you that are prayer warriors and you say, I'm already doing this, Pastor, I want to give you an extra challenge. This is an extra credit challenge. How are you discipling others to be seeking Jesus the same way you are? How can you walk alongside somebody? Maybe it's a friend, it's a coworker, to help them understand what the great treasure Jesus is. All right, so that's the extra challenge. And so what? How are you seeking Jesus? The other thing that I want you to ask yourself is, how can you allow the fear of the Lord to replace the fears in your world? All right, all of us, we're all dealing with fears, right? And when you watch TV, when you do media, when you hear about all the uncertainty about the fall and what the economy and the unrest in our nation and this world, it can be overwhelming. I want to challenge you, as you spend time with God and seek Jesus, to allow the fear of the Lord to replace the fears of this world. And so how can you do that? And as you do that, here's the extra credit. If you're already there, how can you encourage somebody else to have that same fear of the Lord and not the fear of this world? Because our faith is such a great treasure. We don't want to keep it to ourselves, but we want to share it with everyone. So that's my prayer, that you may seek Jesus as the greatest treasure of all, and that God may replace whatever fears you're dealing with the fear of him, knowing that God is bigger, that God is stronger, that God is more powerful than any of the problems we face, and that he is for you, and he loves you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, you are our treasure. Lord, forgive us for all the times when we don't treat you like a treasure. We get wrapped up in the things that distract us, the things that really don't matter, the things that worry and the fears that sometimes it gives us energy to be afraid. But I pray, Lord, that we may seek out your wisdom, that we may seek out Jesus as the treasure that he is, that we may also, Lord, trust you, fear, love, and trust in you above all things. Allow us, Lord, to have the faith, not just to do that for ourselves, but to share this treasure with others. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in your loving and powerful name, and all God's people said, amen.